This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, but it's not really. We do a comedy show. If you've just joined us, and the gentleman who called last hour, at the end of last hour, made me think that there are a lot of people who are joining our show for the very first time, and you think we do a fairly standard news talk show. And it's very important for us to talk about the things that have happened over the last week. That's why we are in the mode that we're in right now. We're talking fairly seriously about all of these things having to do with America, American policy, terrorism, how we're going to proceed. But ordinarily, our program is a satire. It's a it deals strictly with comedic material. You may not think it's funny, but we do, and some other people do. So we, I don't know, it might not be your cup of tea is what I'm trying to say. But in any event, I do hope that when the time comes that we can return to normal programming, where we all get back to doing what we do best, that you'll stick around and listen to our show. And if you'd like to visit our website, it's philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. We also have a web poll questionnaire today, and you can weigh in on that. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. Here's Jennifer on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Hi. I'm feeling a lot of grief.
Well, I didn't really, when I asked you that question, I didn't really want an honest answer.
Just I have you to thank for that, and I'm serious here. I've listened to your show a long time, and I like the comedy, although sometimes you really piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sensitive to very sensitive issues, and I am amazed at the passion and sensitivity that you're showing to this, and I think that has got me in touch with my grief, because it just amazes me. You know, that you're doing this, and you just speak so well about it.
Well, thanks.
I think we need to get in touch with our grief, and, you know, with the busyness of usual days and stuff, I don't get a chance to do that, so I appreciate being able to do it on my drive home.
Get in touch with our grief?
Yeah, for what's happened to our nation. And
feel sad.
Me,
yeah.
Yeah. For me, the war, the aspect of war, you know, is it's very gripping.
Yes. Very is. Very much is. Very yeah. Frightening. And you have to steel yourself. And, you know, there's no avoiding the things that one has to do. Now, if it makes you feel any better, we don't really know what shape this so-called war is going to take.
Mm-hmm.
And we want it to be effective. One of the things that we learned from the Gulf War is that any war that America fights these days has got to be over pretty fast, because the attention span and the support of the American people doesn't last very long. And the same would happen with the international community. So whatever it is we got to do, we have to know what we're doing, get in, do it, and get out of there. And Colin Powell is the Secretary of State and used to be the Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman, so he's a former military guy. Basically said that is the object of any war, to know exactly what your goal is, go in, accomplish that, and then extract yourself from that situation. So I trust that we're not just going to dump a whole bunch of soldiers on the ground in Pakistan and have them drive jeeps up into Afghanistan and then just shoot every Afghani that they see until they find bin Laden. I trust that it's not going to be that.
Well, you know, and I really hope that, because I think part of my own personal grief and fear is because I have a 17-year-old son, and
right.
You know, I'm hearing they're not going to reinstate the draft because there's enough people, and the wars are different these days because of chemical and whatever else. But
hopefully,
you know,
it's
really
not chemical.
That.
That's against the Geneva Convention. Chemical
okay,
war.
Okay. Well, what it's, you know, more not, it's less people, you know, and more, I don't know,
more high tech. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe in a war like this, we might need a few more people, because we're talking about an area of the world where, you know, the only way you're going to be able to get at this guy is with people. But war is to be avoided at all costs. And when you finally are backed up against the wall and your only response is to be warrior-like, then you have to do it with a heart of steel. And it doesn't mean, you can still be afraid. You can still be scared. But if we sink from this challenge, then I don't know what kind of a country we're going to have, if we're going to have one for much longer, Because if we sink from this challenge, then the next nutcase that comes along with an airplane full of fuel may decide he wants to drop it on the White House. Or he might decide to drop it where you work or where I work. Because all of a sudden now, it isn't Vietnam and it's not the Gulf. It's your homeland, Jennifer. So I don't know. If we don't fight for this country, and when I say this country, I mean our actual soil. What do we fight? What do we do? We might as well just pack it in.
Do you think that they will do the draft again, in your opinion?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't think that a military war, a military, the military operation that they're contemplating, I don't think it's one that they're contemplating for much longer than, at the most, a few months. I don't see public support for a war that will last for years. I don't see international support for a war, a military war, that'll last for years. That's why when I listen to Powell, you have to listen to him carefully. He has been very careful to mention military, diplomatic, economic. He's throwing all of that into the mix. The international community is not going to support us for much longer than a few months. Public opinion in America is not going to be strong for a war that lasts much longer than a few months. Now, all they did was blow up a couple of buildings and murder 50,000 people. So it may be that our opinion for war might be a little bit stronger than just a few months. Maybe we got the stomach for a year or two. Personally speaking, and this is just Phil Hendry, I'm ready for that. Like I said last week, I'm ready for anything. They butchered up 50,000 Americans on our own soil. So I don't know where we say, well, you know, it's been 6 weeks. We haven't gotten them yet? No, I just pulled my head out of my ass. You sure? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Oh, okay. Well, maybe we shouldn't do this anymore because it's, like, uncomfortable. And can't we get Letterman and Phil to do his show again and everything be like it was? No, we can't. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, you know what? There's no backing down. You have to harden your heart. You have to go and do the job that you know you got to do. Now, let's be smart. Let's see if we can plan an operation that is a quick hit, quick strike style operation where maybe we can take this guy out. I don't know. I heard mention of commando style invasion forces, units of anywhere from 5 to 500 men, not whole divisions like a Vietnam or a World War II. I've heard mention of arming the resistance fighters that are already in Afghanistan. There are ways to fight this war militarily that may not mean an enormous commitment of manpower and may not mean a long period of time. But I don't know. It's not read the directions, follow, add hot water, and now you got soup. It's a war. And the other thing that needs to be emphasized is what I said at the beginning of the show. You have to embrace the possibility of defeat. Notice I didn't say expect defeat or oh my God, we may lose. You have to embrace the possibility of defeat because it sharpens your mind. It makes you completely aware of what it is you're fighting for. And it makes you completely aware of the alternatives. And that hardens you a little bit more so that you can do what you got to do, man. And I don't want to sit here and sound like the old decrepit college professor at the beginning of All Quiet on the Western Front who exhorts the young German men to leave the classroom and join the army and go to the front. Some old, dried-up, decrepit old monarchist who thinks they got to go out and defend the freaking Kaiser. And, of course, if you saw the movie, it's an anti-war film, and it's basically about the dissemination of a generation of people in Germany who lost everything, which eventually gave rise to Nazism, and you know, that country was split in two for 50 years. And the old man at the beginning of that movie is one of the most despicable and disgusting creatures in the history of cinema, and I sure as hell hope that I don't sound like him. Some guy who's 49, 50, and I got nothing to lose because I ain't going to be the guy that's going to be in the front line. I think what I'm talking about here is something worth fighting for. Not some Kaiser, not some czar, not some mullah, not some old, decrepit, yesterday's news, autocrat, some guy that wants to drag us into the Middle Ages. I'm talking about something that's worth fighting for, something that's worth valuing, something's going to be here for a long time if we take care of it, a democratic society. There's black folks and there's white folks and there's all kinds of religions. This place ain't bad. There's MTV spring break parties. They got that Mickey's Hard Lemonade. Hot dogs at ball games. Good-looking women. Big country. Lots of camping. Lots of fishing. Damn good surfing. And what's the complaint about? And a government and a country that, I hate to break the news, that we've been kind of ignoring for a long time. Making fun of the politicians. Ha 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 ha. And ain't they funny? And look at how fat that guy is. And look at how stupid that guy is. And why don't these politicians do something? Why don't you do something? You know, those people are in Washington because they give a crap about their country. Did you ever think of that one? I don't know whether they're Republican or Democrat. I've had my complaints about them, too. There's a plenty of those guys I don't like. But did you ever think of this, that they're back there because they love their country, because they're patriots, because maybe they want to do something to help this country? It's easy to laugh at people like that. It's very easy to sit back and go, ha-ha, what a bunch of fat slob politicians. I don't trust them, yada, yada, yada. Guess what? You better start trusting them. And all that pleasant conversation about too much government and not enough this and too much that, all this marvelous chit-chat, all the hot air. Jesus, that's why I don't do that kind of talk radio. That's why I don't do this kind of talk radio, because all it is hot air. And if you think I'm kidding, I swear to God, the first opportunity I got to go back to the kind of show we used to do, I'm going to take it, because I don't like necessarily doing this. Talking this way, feeling this way. I don't like listening to talk radio. I flip it on and I listen to a lot of supercilious, sanctimonious dumbasses talking about this politician and that, and there, these guys aren't doing this, and there's too much taxes that, or there's not enough taxes here, and I wish they'd do something. Hey, you know something? Those guys are back there doing a job. What are you doing? What have we all been doing? Sitting on our cans, loving our family. You know, we're working hard. We're doing a good thing. Well, we got to do more, man. You got to do more. Is it inconvenient? You don't have enough time? You got to go work out? Is that what the problem is? You're going to have to make time. You're going to have to make time. You're going to have to start to give a crap about something more than yourself. And I'm speaking to myself included, okay? Just so you know, I'm not singling everybody out. This is for Phil Hendry, too. All bets are off. This is for a lot. This is for a lot. And if you don't believe me, buried under all that rubble in New York, maybe 20,000, maybe 30,000 people, they gave their lives. There's a plane that crashed in Pennsylvania. There were three or four or five, I don't know how many men decided to take that plane. They gave their lives. For what? It better be worth it. You better make it worth it. We have to make it worth it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The great Renee from Sicily across the street brought our dinner because we're going to do a marathon tonight. We're doing our three-hour show nationally. We also do a three-hour show locally. So we're here and till the late, late hours taking care of business as we talk about these issues concerning the United States and the attack on this country. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And I've been meaning to tell you this Quaker story. Can I take that? Well, this gentleman's been hanging on for an hour. I'll keep my mouth shut and talk to Roger.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Phil.
You got it, Roger. How you doing?
I'm doing okay under the circumstances. I was just down, I live in San Francisco. I was just down at the Civic Center and saw the father of that, one of those guys that died in that Flight 93, one of the guys that overpowered the terrorists, mm-hmm. supposedly. Anyway, that was really inspiring.
Was he speaking down there? Or?
Yeah, the father of one of the deceased gentlemen.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he speaking on television, or was he just...
He was there live. I was outside, you know, watching on the Jumbotron or whatever, but the governor was in there, the mayor was there, Willie Brown.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it a rally, a TV show? What was it?
It was one of these media savvy constructed events. I mean, they had the guys with the turbans.
Oh, okay. And this was a press conference.
Is it like an interfaith?
Okay. Never mind. I'm asking a lot of stupid questions.
No, not at all. The guys in the turbans are in the front row. So when they show when they pan across with the camera, you know, you see these guys. It's great. It was an interfaith thing, and there was Islamic.
Oh, it's
people.
An interfaith.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And the guys with the turbans are in the front row. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were you going to say?
Okay. The point I had was, I guess I'm really calling for advice. Okay. And the thing is, you know, I've been a fan of your show, and what you do is really unique. And with the whole thing with the character voices, the way I look at it is you're switching your identity really rapidly back and forth. And, you know, it's not just a voice, you know, each character has their own worldview, and so you're switching back and forth between different worldviews, and each character constructs the world, you know, in their own way. So, to me...
I'm playing the part of different characters.
Okay.
It's acting.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in the events of the last week, you know, it's been hard to sort of get my mind around it. It's a lot of people are still in a state of shock.
Right.
And it's kind of like the world is operating differently than we thought. Things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like you have the ability to sort of deal with that well. And so I'm wondering how you develop that. I'm wondering if you have any advice to people.
How I develop what? My ability to deal with these events? It's probably my age.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of these things in my lifetime. I've seen, I have a perspective. I think I have an awareness. I'm a big fan of history, and I'm a big fan of world events and current events. And I guess I have the ability to look at things and see them in totality, where they were, where they are now, where they might go. And maybe these things don't surprise me. Maybe that's it. Maybe they don't surprise me. Wait a minute. We don't have to break to Roger. Does that answer the question, or was that what you were looking for, or what?
That's cool. It's a really vague question, man. I'm with you. I mean,
am I afraid? Yes. Am I scared? Yes. Do I embrace the possibility of defeat? Yes, I do. Can America end? Yes, it can. Can all of this end? Yes, it can. And people would say, oh, you're just being negative, and we're strong enough, and we're this, and we're that. Yes, I know we're strong enough. I know that we're everything. I will not allow myself to be naive or to be duped into any false sense of security. Look, if you are a history student, then you know the countless nations that have gone before us that paraded off to war with the banners unfurled and the young men singing a song on their lips. You know, I just read a history of World War I. That's why I keep referring to Russia at the time of the Tsar. The Russian soldiers were brave soldiers. The Germans commented, this is how brave they were. They had to remove their bodies from in front of the machine gun nest so they get a clear line of fire. That's how many of them would storm the nests of the Germans and how many of them died. 4 million of them died. They died in vain. They died in vain because they were defending something that was decrepit and corrupt, the autocracy of Russia. And yet they felt that they were going off to defend the Tsar and God, and they could do no wrong. And there was no army in the world that could defeat the Russian army. I think we're doing better in this country because we're defending something valuable, because this is something that isn't a transitory thing like an autocracy, like a Tsar, like a Kaiser, like a mullah. This is us. This is our country. This is democracy. This is a republic. This is all those corny things that our parents used to tell us about and we used to laugh at and then go around behind the garage and light that big joint of green that we bought at school that day. This is a valuable thing. This is like, this isn't going anywhere, man. This concept can last for eons if we protect it, if we value it, is all I'm trying to say. Thank you. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, it's almost the whole show, but I'm going to finally tell you the story of the little email communications that I've had with a friend of my wife's, who is a Quaker. Nice lady. We were host to them as a family about a month or so ago. She came down to Los Angeles from San Francisco with her son, and they visited Disneyland. They're very, very nice people. But she is a Quaker, and that's not to say, but there's something wrong. She's a Quaker. It's to say that Quakers, if you're familiar with the religion, and I am not, I do know that they are pacifists. I also know that during the war in Vietnam, Quakers were instrumental in counseling people who wanted to avoid the draft on how to avoid the draft. So they do become politically involved, but they're a good people. They truly are, and they've produced some pretty interesting human beings. Richard Nixon's family was a Quaker family. The Quakers founded Whittier, California, out here to the east of L.A. And the other day, she sent emails, and it was kind of a general emailing. You know how you get these general emails from your friends? And she sent the email to our house, and it said, "Restraint in times of crisis." This came from, let's call her Susie. Susie, restraint in times of crisis. And I'm not just saying Susie as, like, you know, to paint her as a dimwit. Her name does end with a Y. I just don't, you know. And I read this email, and it was basically, "Dear all, I know that this has been a hard week on all of us. And if you want to make sure that our president and our Congress show the proper restraint in this difficult time so that the violence doesn't escalate, please visit the Friends website," which is the Quakers' website. "Sincerely, Susie," and blah, 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 you know, like that. Well, I look at this, I go, you know something, this begs a response. Because generally you get these general emails, and you throw them away. I wrote back that I don't believe that restraint ever bought anybody anything, especially at a time like this, yada, yada. It was just my standard bullcrap. She sent back one directly to me, and she said, "Phil, thank you for your email, I got it. Maybe you'd be interested in this this email that I received from an Afghani native living in America." And then she sent me this long email, and it was one of those tracts that we are supposed to send off to friends because we're so bowled over by how groovy it is. You know what I mean? "I just saw this in a newspaper, thought I'd share it," and then they send it off to 8 million other friends, and the next thing you know, it becomes legendary among your friends and everybody. I read this thing. It was from an Afghani who was living in America, and he said, "I don't know what the solution to the present crisis is, but I do know that my people have suffered many years." And I'm not being sarcastic, by the way. I'm trying to give you the tone in which it was written. "The women of my country are subjected to cruel treatment. The Taliban is corrupt. But may I draw this analogy? The Taliban is Hitler, and the Afghani people are the Jews in the concentration camp. They are prisoners, and while I'm sure you would like them to rise up and rebel, they're exhausted, and they have no spirit to fight, and they have no resources, and they're hungry." And then he concluded with the same thought, "I don't know what the solution is." He started with that, and he concluded, "I don't know what the solution is, but I do know that expanding this conflict will make more and more people suffer." Now, she sent this to me. And she sent it to me for this reason and this reason alone, that I would be bowled over by the emotional sentiments to the point where I would recognize that war is a horrible thing. Like I don't already know that. And that war should be avoided at all costs. I don't believe that. Nobody believes that. Even people who say the words "war should be avoided at all costs" don't believe that. People are afraid, and they don't want to show that they're afraid. And so they mask their fear with a humanitarian posture. They're afraid, and they don't want to say, I'm afraid of what's coming. And so they retreat to a position of humanitarianism to talk about how horrible war is, and they conclude their emails with, I don't know what the solution is, but I do know, dot, 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 war's a horrible thing. I get it. I know. I don't want it. Maybe there's a way we can fight it where there won't be a lot of bloodshed. Maybe there's a way we can get this bin Laden guy. Maybe the Taliban will turn around and become so just overwhelmed by their own guilt that they'll just turn him over. I don't know. But I know someone who's afraid when I see him and when I hear him. And many times people who cloak themselves in this humanitarian posture of, you know, it's a terrible thing, they're just flat scared, and they don't want to show that. It's not a very masculine thing to show. I'm scared. And I realize it doesn't make me look very masculine. But you got to do what you got to do, like the man said. What are you and who are you if you don't? So anyway, I did not respond. Oh, yes, I did. Me having to get the last word, yes, I did. I responded by saying exactly what I said to you right now, that your friend, however laudable his email and however badly the Afghani people are suffering, and I feel for the suffering people. This is the time and this is the place that history has found them, and they have found themselves, and I guess their suffering is just about to get worse. And for whatever reason, the Afghani people never took control of their own destiny. For whatever reason, they put their trust in the wrong people. And for whatever reason, now they find themselves at the receiving end of what could be more suffering. I'm sorry, but unfortunately, they find themselves at that point, at this time in the history of the world, as the result of the United States, 30,000 of our citizens being carved up like sheep to slaughter, laying somewhere in the bottom of that pile of rubble in New York. We didn't ask for that. We didn't want it. I suppose there's people that could very enjoyably tell us how we brought that on ourselves. Well, if we brought it on ourselves, we're about to deal with it. And if the Afghani people brought certain suffering upon themselves, the hammer's about to fall. I don't know what else to tell you. Otherwise, here's the alternative. Here's what we could do. Gee, it sure is terrible, all those people that died. Yeah, I know. God, that's horrible. But, you know, war is a terrible thing, and why should more people die? Right. Let's convene an international conference and invite bin Laden to it and ask him what he wants. Let's sit him down, and we'll sit down, and then the Jews can sit down, but then he may not want to sit down with the Jews, so the Jews, they won't be able to sit down. Just America will sit down. And then we'll sit down and we'll ask him, why are you mad at us? Did we do something wrong? And then we can promise him aid, maybe hug, have a hug session, give him money, and maybe he wants more guns. I don't know, build him a house. He's living in a cave, you know, and oh, I got it. I know the other thing that he wants. He doesn't want the Israelis there anymore, so we could kick the Jews out of Israel. How about that? Let's line them all up and shoot them. They're used to that anyway, aren't they? We've driven them out of every country in the world. Now we finally give them their own. Let's drive them out of that one just so bin Laden can be happy so we don't have to have a war. And then we'll come back and then we'll bury our dead and we'll smile and pat each other on the back and say that we avoided a war. Until the next time he gets pissed off and decides to maybe throw some chemical weapons at us. Or maybe some bacteriological weapons. Or even maybe he wants to play with the new nuclear bomb he's got and decides to detonate that thing. Then we'll have another meeting with him and ask him, what did we do wrong to make you upset with us? And we can keep doing that until we're on our freaking knees. Until we're on our knees. Why am I yelling? I know all you guys agree with me. What the hell? What is wrong with me? I wish I had a Quaker to yell at right now. I'm sitting here. I'm getting all passionate. Everybody's calling in agrees with me. I just feel strongly about this. I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. Cheryl, hello. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Cheryl. How are you doing?
God bless America.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever you say.
Don't you think that it's very ironic that we take God out of everything until there's a major catastrophe, and then we go, oh, please, God, help us?
Some people say God help us, yeah, the ones that believe in him.
I think that's very, very ironic.
Why, do you want the ones that don't believe in him to put it in there, too?
Most of them do.
Most who?
Most of them, please, God, help us.
Oh, well, okay, well, then they believe in God. What? I don't understand what the, do you have a complaint, or?
No, absolutely not.
What was the point you were hoping to make?
My point is, I've heard several people say that we are a police state.
Really? They must be friends of yours.
No, they're not.
Okay.
I've just heard that the U.S. polices everything. Do they realize that we also provide food, we provide medical assistance, we provide engineering, we provide construction people? I don't understand the people now that are saying, well, the U.S. deserves this. They've done this to every other nation in the world.
Maybe we have. Maybe we've made some mistakes along the way. Maybe we've screwed up. Maybe we've crapped on a few people. And maybe they're understandably upset. And maybe if we can make it right, we'll make it right. And maybe there's some people that don't want us to make it right. They just want to have, they hate us so much. They hate our living guts so much. Hey, I got no doubts. This guy, he hates our living guts. And if that's the case, I don't know what we did to piss him off. I'm sure there's a few things he could point out. Some of them I can probably guess at. But he wants to kill me, see, and I can't let him do that. I'd be happy to sit down and talk to him or somebody who makes more sense, someone who's got some 14 cents worth of marbles left in his head, but this guy doesn't look like he can be talked. I'd be happy to do that, but not before we get some payback for what happened, we get this Bin Laden guy locked up, and all the other people that think they're going to pull this stuff. Then we can sit down and we can talk about it. Here's Rick on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Hi.
First off, I just want to say you're touching all the bases, and no one says it better.
Thanks.
I wanted to agree with you because you hit on an issue that earlier in the show, about an hour or so ago, about the Arab leaders and Muslim and Islamic leaders in our country all of a sudden jumping up and down against terrorism. But you never heard any of that when the Palestinians were blowing up discotheques with kids in it or shooting school buses with teachers and kids going to school. You never heard them come out against terrorism.
I don't know. I don't know if there's such a thing as a world Islamic leader, like the Catholics have the Pope, like there's Billy Graham. You know what I mean? That kind of a guy. Mm-hmm. But if there is, or if there are several of them, the right-minded, right-thinking, spiritual, community-minded, patriotic Islamic and Muslim leader, where are they? Why have they not said anything?
Well, that's my point.
Do they exist?
Well, that's my point. I mean, right now, all they're screaming up and down, like you said earlier on, because they're worried about their own asses at this point in time. But, you know, I'm also concerned about the fact that Paul has talked about bringing into this coalition Syria and the Palestinians, which I think to legitimize them at this time, they're just cut from the same cloth of Arafat is Sharon's Bin Laden. He said that.
Well, a couple of things. You know the phrase, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right?
Right.
Then the other thing that they've been talking about the last few days, Rick, which makes sense, with the CIA was dismantled over the last 10 years, one of the reasons why our covert intelligence capability was crippled is we were told we could no longer have dealings with, unsavory characters. And those are just the people that we ought to be hiring as operatives to infiltrate some of these cells, some real scum-sucking dogs that we were told we couldn't have any business with. There's a way to use a guy like Arafat, and there's a way to use a guy like Assad. Yeah, you're right. They've sponsored terrorism themselves. Now's not the time, I don't think, to be so morally consistent that we sort of hold a scented handkerchief to our nose, dunk pound cake, and say, I'll have nothing to do with either one of them. I think we can use these guys, use them to our advantage, And then when we're done with them, we can dump them in the nearest dumpster and, you know, move on.
Well, you raise a good point, and I hope that that's part of the plan, because these guys are no different than the others.
I think it is. And look at Pakistan. You think we got, what, are we kissing buddies with them?
Right.
But these guys have got the proximity to where we need to be, so we've asked for some use of their airspace. In return, you know, one hand washes the other. We're giving these guys a little whatever the hell they want. Is it some, we're relieving debt, and I think we're giving them some money, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. They aren't doing it out of, they don't have any great love for us.
Yeah.
But the public face they put on it, of course, is, yes, we don't want terrorism. You know, what you say for public consumption, if you're a world leader, and what you say behind closed doors to a guy you're dealing with, two completely different things.
Absolutely.
And that's the propaganda war.
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling.
Well, I appreciate your show, and, you know, you're the best, man.
Thanks
Florida,
very much.
Florida
man.
Loves you.
I appreciate that. Florida's a great place, and one of these days, like I say, we'll get back to doing the show that Florida actually fell in love with. 1-800, and all the rest of you, I'm sure. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, here is caller Doc. Doc, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Phil, I'm really glad I got to talk to you. I'm a longtime fan. I'm a drafted Vietnam vet, a little bit older than you are, but I love your show.
Thank
and
you.
And I just wanted to tell you one thing. You're right on target with all this stuff that you've been saying, and I think that people need to become more educated. They need to read the Quran. That's the holy scripture of Islam. That the Muslims read,
mm-hmm.
and it's provided by E.P. Dutton and Sons of New York,
sure.
1971, and on page 410, it talks about women, and on page 414, verse 30, listen to this, it says, commit not suicide of a truth, God is merciful to you, do this with malice, and God will cast you into fire. For this is easy for God. So, in other words, this holy war that these people are waging against the Twin Towers and all this stuff, the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, it's all a bunch of crap. What they need to do, you know, the Muslims need to come out and say this in cathedrals, that the Muslims don't condone this kind of thing. They haven't ever...
I think the way you said it's better. I think they should all come out, this is a bunch of crap. All you guys, knock it off.
Exactly. Right
it would be
on.
A nice thing, man. Be a nice thing. I don't know. It would be like this. It would be like, what if there was a whole, like, rabid, insane generation of white separatists pumping their fist and wanting to do some horrible things, and they were hijacking planes, and they were burning things down, and they called themselves Christian, and they believed that Jesus means the white man when he talks about the chosen people. He doesn't mean the Jew, and they were doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Don't you think cats like Billy Graham or somebody would say, you guys are nuts? Back it off, or whatever, or maybe not. Maybe those people are in fear for their lives. I don't know.
Yeah, they could be, but I think we ought to get back to comedy, because baseball's on, Seinfeld's on. Art Griego could probably solve this problem easily.
Art Griego, our pilot.
Exactly.
All right, Doc.
Okay. See
thanks
you
for
later.
Calling. Bye bye. Yeah, baseball's playing. Why can't I? Well, I guess it's a whole different thing. Baseball. So you have all the sports to make a comeback. It's the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.